Riley, right-hand dribble, spins mid-post, stops on the block, bumping with Iheanacho, forced it up and in off the glass. Bears the other way, really inside, turnaround 13-footer, good. Deep right side at the angle, this is really, he'll fire the three, in there. Now hands it off to Riley, jab step twice, crossover move on Iheanacho, down the lane, left-hand scoop for two. And Jaron Riley ties the game with 6:19 left in the half. Feed up top to Riley, shot fake, fires the three, in there. Riley, little shaky move down the lane, left hand, flip up and in. He got it off the left iron. Inbound to Wisney, hands back to Jaron to the left elbow, and he hits the jumper. Riley down the lane with the right-hand dribble, stops on the left pivot, jumps a pass, and gets it back beyond the arc right side. Omot on him, Riley drives all the way in, lefty layup, good. Riley inbounds left baseline to Wisney, hands back to Jaron in the left corner against Iheanacho, shake move, drives into the lane, bumping, now facing up, six-footer, good. Riley against Eaglestaff, gets a pick by Wisney, stops in the lane, 15-footer, swish. Wisney, top of the key, backdoor cut, bounce pass to Riley, who lays it up and in. Another fine dish by Brock Wisney.
Did I speak a little too soon yesterday? For the first time ever, I announced my player of the week in the middle of the week, and I said, I don't care what happens the rest of this week. I don't care who stands out. Patrick Cartier is my player of the week. Well, I'm standing by it. He's my guy for this week anyway. But Jaron really just says, no. I have something to say about that. A career high for him last night, 30 points. As the Bears get the win 97-87 over North Dakota. That was Mike Rice on the call here on KFK. That was fantastic. We'll have Mike on the show in the 12 o'clock hour. Talk about that win. It does feel like the Bears are finding some momentum, some rhythm. And Jaron Riley's kind of that guy that is kind of bringing it all together because he was out to start the season. So, and then once he got back into the lineup, it was still kind of some growing pains there. So maybe this is a precursor, a preview of things to come for UNC. 30 points for him. I mean, they were down 13-7 to start the game, and then after that, they just went off. They went on a 21. They ran off 21 after that in the next 36 minutes. They were down 13-7 and then put together 21 straight points. UNC gets the dub. And it just kind of furthers that point of basketball in this area is really, really strong. UNC will take on Denver this weekend. That's another nice contest for them. Final non-conference game of the year. Now, they had a conference game, so they're 1-0 in that. The Bears might do some things here in the Big Sky Conference. Angel, I haven't paid attention to much of the conference yet, but it feels like why not UNC at this stage? St. Thomas? Just a consistent double-double guy, 21 points, 12 boards for him, and I love that guy. I'm a big St. Thomas fan. I know that's your boy, but what a win for the UNC Bears. Get the dub.
Yeah, a good win for them. That's three in a row now. You had the big win over Air Force before the break. You come back, get a Big Sky win, and now you go on the road into a tough environment and get another one. But I've been really pleased to see how this team, as you mentioned it, as that chemistry has kind of come along since Riley has come back into the lineup. St. Thomas, Mr. Double-Double, has been consistent all year. But you've been kind of looking for who's going to step up on this offensive side of the ball. Bears went 8 of 13 from three-point range last night. It's good. I know that Steve Smiley likes to hit those deep shots when you can find them consistently. And then Langston Reynolds with another SportsCenter top 10 dunk.
UNC finds themselves on SportsCenter quite a bit. Don't you think? Like, whether it's bad beats or big dunks, Langston's been on there twice now this year?
Twice. Should be at least three.
Yeah. And so, I don't know what it is, but the Bears just find ways to get on the national spotlight. And I think this isn't a promo that's running, how I've talked about how Steve Smiley and this crew, they have gained some fans over the last few years because of, well, big performances against CSU and just guys that are obviously Dalton Connect type player that goes on and doing great things nationally now. There's reasons to point at this UNC basketball team. So good for them, man. That was a nice dub for the UNC Bears. Let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com.
/KFK. Well, let's go with really. Let's go with UNC getting the win. As you said, Angel, three in a row for this team, feeling really good about themselves. And I think it's fair to say, listen, they're still not good enough to really contend with like CSU or CU. But I think both of those games would be a little bit better contested even now. The CU game was like 2-3 weeks ago. I still think the Bears would put up maybe a little bit more of a battle now. I think they've gotten that much better in 3 weeks, and that's what you want to see as you're really heading into the early portion of your Big Sky Conference play. The bad for me, Broncos Pro Bowl. You got Patrick Surtain the second getting in there, Justin Simmons getting in there, and then Marvin Mims Jr. as a special teams guy, as a returner. It's bad because this just proves the point of, okay, these are the guys, and Mims is still yet to be seen what he can do as a receiver. We knew Pat Surtain was there, and Justin Simmons is a fine, fine safety. No question about it, but no offensive players for the Broncos, and this, again, goes back to this gigantic point of it's not just Russell Wilson. It's not just maybe if you're after Sean Payton. They don't have weapons, and that is on George Payton. He's been with this is his third season with the Broncos now, our fourth season, and this is what you've put out. You know, Pat Surtain is still the one thing he got right. That's his guy. But other than that, this goes to, when you look at the Pro Bowl, sometimes it doesn't tell anything. Sometimes it tells you exactly what the issue is, and the issue with the Broncos is that you don't have any weapons. You don't have any guys, any dogs on the offensive side of the ball. The ugly, I took in a lot of NBA basketball last night. I watched the Lakers-Heat game. And I'm just going to say, watching the Lakers is ugly. I know Anthony Davis had a monster game, but I feel like LeBron James, he's going to give you like 1 out of 5 games where he looks really good. But the other 4, what's he doing out there? And then Reeves, just every time he goes and makes a play, he hunches over, puts his hands on his knees. He just looks absolutely exhausted. Like he's stressed out, doesn't want to be out there. So I thought that was some ugly basketball by the Lakers as they lost to the Miami Heat last night, 110-96. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Got our poll question fired up today at theholeshow.com. Would you like to see Russell Wilson back with the Broncos next season? And I'm asking, it's not as obvious as I thought it was. You know, a few weeks ago, months ago even, maybe even at the beginning of their run they went on, I think people were still, I thought people were still of the mindset that Russell Wilson is just not the guy for this team. And you have a lot of people that would make cases for him and the stats and do all that, and I get it. But I mean, if you just watch the games, there's no way you can tell me that looks easy, that looks right. And I'm shocked, but right now it's 50-50. It's 50-50 at theholeshow.com. Go vote. I'd love to get your thoughts on this one. Would you like to see Russell Wilson back? Because there are some that think, I mean, come on, Angel. Who's the NFL Network guy? Rappaport came out and said that it's not a foregone conclusion that Russell Wilson is gone. Now, I don't know what that's based off of, but that they could still bring him, plan to bring him back. I don't think so. I think it's done. I think this whole benching thing has proven that point, but I suppose there is a sliver of a chance that Russell Wilson comes back to play for the Broncos. I don't know, man.
You know, there's that potential, okay, it's only year one with Sean Payton in this new offense, and maybe you need to get a different type of weapon on the outside to elevate the offense. Maybe you need to find some consistency with the running back. So, hey, we're already paying the guy. We might as well. Really want to start all over with a fresh, yes, brand new kid?
Yeah.
I know you do.
I'm all in on that. I'm done, Angel. I'm worn out. Like, Justin Fields is kind of interesting to me, but if you had to press me, like, would I rather get Justin Fields for, I don't know, a first-round pick? Is he worth a first-round pick right now? Is he a first-round pick?
He's probably not worth it, but that's probably what you're
probably
what's
going to be. Okay, is he? So would I go that route? No, I'd rather package stuff, whatever that might look like, and yeah, that might involve Patrick Surtain, to move up. Or I saw a mock draft today with CBS Sports, And it has Michael Penix Jr. falling to number 14, to where the Broncos sit right now. I don't see that, but NFL teams aren't fans. They don't fall victim to... Now, Penix Jr. has been great all year. So I heard Tanner saying, oh, I don't want to get people all worked up about one game. Well, he's played more than one game. You know, Michael Penix Jr.,
the Heisman race.
He existed before the playoff game over the weekend. He existed before that. So it's not based off of that. It's just there's more national attention on him, even more so than throughout the regular season. And yeah, he was a Heisman candidate. He's kind of showing the world why maybe he should have been the Heisman winner, perhaps. But I don't see him falling to 14. But that was just one mock. Again, these mock drafts. They're just for fodder.
We have a few months to go.
We do. But I'm all in on this now because I'm interested in the draft. When the Broncos have a first-round pick, and it might be a significant first-round pick, it makes locally the NFL draft way more interesting. Broncos haven't had that for two seasons. So I'm all in on this idea. So if I had to be pressed here of Justin Fields or take that first-round pick and move up and then maybe add a player or two and another pick for future reference or whatever – then I'm gonna go with the young guy and start all over. The problem with the Broncos, Angel, and I think you were frustrated by this, was that Denver has never once in this past, what, are we on 7 years now? No playoffs?
Seven or eight.
2015, yeah, eight. They've never once come out and said, we are gonna, not that teams really do that, but even with their message and their methods, they've never pointed towards a rebuild or any kind of reconstruction. It's always been, yeah, we're going to go after the McGlinchies and the Allens and Joe Flaccos, and we're going to go get these big pieces, big-time free agents, and bring them in here and try to just piece this thing together to recapture what happened in 2015 with Manning. The Broncos have not. I don't think in the past 20 years I remember the Broncos actually getting in a mode of, yeah, we're rebuilding this whole thing. I think the closest was when Mike Shanahan benched Jake Plummer and they started Jay Cutler after drafting him the year before that. That was like the closest thing I saw to, okay, we're going to rebuild this thing. And then shortly after that, Shanahan was fired, and then it was Josh McDaniels. So we've never seen Denver take that plunge and that commitment or, you know, commit to a rebuild. I've seen some sports guys out there, and I agree with this, kind of. Do you even, if none of those guys fall to you at number one, at number 14 or wherever, 12, do you consider just going with Jarrett Stidham and probably tank next year? Just go all in on the tank. And then, again, a Shedeur Sanders name that comes up. There's other quarterbacks out there's names that are going to come up. Do you go for that? Do you go for a complete teardown? You draft somebody with 14. You use that, whatever that might be, whether it's a good edge rusher or whether that's a solid wide receiver. And then that's your guy you're going to build on. You tank next year. And then the year after that, you have a top five pick in the first round. And then you take a quarterback to pair with, hopefully, that offensive weapon. I don't know if I'm that patient. I'd rather get the quarterback now. And then if you suck next year, you just suck, and then that's just the way it goes. We're going to grow with this guy. But I'm willing to grow with a young quarterback at this stage. That's why I'm saying lose the damn Raiders game. That does nothing for you. It's a win. There's only so many games a season. I'm all about wins that mean something. You know I can't stand bowl season. I don't care about the in-season tournament in the NBA. I don't care about the NIT and CIT and CSI and CBI. I don't care about that stuff. I care about the ship, the number one championship, and what is the way to get there. Not by winning meaningless games in early January. We keep doing that every year. We have done this. The Broncos have done this every year. Let's fight. Let's get some momentum going into the next season with guys that won't be on the team. What good is that going to do? What good is momentum? Sunday, winning that game. Is that game, again, if it's a young group, and you win that game, like the Chiefs did back with Patrick Mahomes his first year that he started and he started playing, then I can see that. But that's not what this Broncos team is. It's not a young team that's learning how to win. In many ways, it's an old team that doesn't know how to win. So I'm not buying the whole, oh, you got to get some momentum. Well, Russ isn't going to be there. Jarrett Stidham's probably not going to be your starting quarterback. What's going to happen with Javonte Williams? What's going to happen with are they going to restructure guys? Are they going to trade guys, try to move guys? Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy. So it's not a build some momentum, because these aren't guys that you're probably going to continue building with, at least a good portion of them. So I'm ready to turn the page. And if it needs to be a teardown, then it needs to be a teardown. Because we have just seen this for so long. Every single year. If it wasn't Russell Wilson before that, it was Joe Flacco. And then you drafted Drew Lock, and you were hoping that would kind of work. It was Case Keenum after he had that really good year with Minnesota. I'm just not there anymore, man. It's time to call this what it is. It's time to get an it quarterback and build around this guy. But I don't know that Penix Jr. will fall at number 14. There's some strong quarterbacks in this draft, and there's a lot of teams that are going to be ahead of Denver that will vie for that quarterback spot. But this is why losing to the Raiders could be the difference between, I mean, two picks is significant, Angel. You go from 14 to 12. That's significant because Penix could be in that area. I could see Penix going. I mean, I got a lot of mock drafts saying Drake May is going to go number two to Washington. So if that's the case, then Penix could fall outside of the top 10. And that's where you can get really dangerous with that first round pick and not have to trade Patrick Surtain to move up two spots. But to move up 13 spots, to move up seven spots, that's going to take more than a switch of first-round picks. That's going to take, obviously, it's going to take a lot more, a future first-round pick probably. And again, we're back in this wash, rinse, repeat cycle of throwing first-round picks away like they're nothing. And you have to get to the point at some point. At some stage, you want to keep your first-round picks. And yes, you may have to give up a future to get this quarterback, but that's the only risk I'm willing to take if we're going to keep mortgaging the future. I'd rather mortgage the future on the future. Don't mortgage the future on a get-rich-quick scheme. So, we'll talk about that throughout the day. The poll question of the day is available at thewholeshow.com. Would you like to see Russell Wilson back with the Broncos? And now it's 54% saying yes. What are you guys watching that I'm not watching? Are we really that far off? Is this the Tebow thing all over again, where you guys are watching one game and I'm watching a different game apparently, but you like him as the person, so you're willing to put logic aside? 23 minutes after the hour. Kevin Lytle will join me at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk Colorado State basketball, Colorado State football. Got a new defensive line coach, so we'll get into that with Kevin. And so much more. I got the top story of the day. In the 12 o'clock hour, Mike Rice will join me to recap that big UNC win. Let's also talk about Sean Payton. What are your feelings on Sean Payton? Do you trust Sean Payton to get this right with Russ or without him? It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Congratulations to Coach Bruce Dick on his induction into the Colorado High School Coaches Association Hall of Fame. Hear the Hall of Famer on KFKA weekdays 10 to 11.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Thursdays at Cable's Pub and Grill, one of my favorites, Fiesta Thursdays. Smothered burrito for $10.99 and house margaritas for just $4. That's Cable's Pub and Grill, where my friends meet. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. When Kevin comes in, we'll be able to kind of chat with him more about CSU's game coming up against Utah State and how you can watch that game. I don't think it's going to be like nationally televised or even like FS1 or CBS Sports. And that's a pretty significant game. So we'll see if the Mountain West Network is going to have that on their website. We'll talk to Kevin about that coming up. Actually, just in a few moments. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Also, big one tonight for the Nuggets. They've got a 5-game road win streak going on, and they take that to Golden State tonight. 8 o'clock, TNT, -3.5 tonight. So get a chance to see
I don't know. Golden State's a 500 team. I don't know how good they're ultimately going to be. It still seems like they're just flat out in disarray. Steph Curry obviously is playing at a high level, 28 points per game, about 5 assists per game. But Klay Thompson is somehow averaging about 20 points per game, but still doesn't quite feel right for Golden State. They're 10-8 at home. Nuggets are 10-8 on the road. Something's got to give. We'll talk about that later on in the program. 30 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams. And you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Still feeling good about that win over New Mexico. Colorado State winning that one 76-68. They got a road game coming up against Utah State this weekend. Kevin Lytle joining us now from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and he is our CSU Rams insider. Kevin, my man, I just got to say this, dude. I was listening off and on last week when you filled in. And again, everybody did great. Everybody did great. But you've got the KFKA vibe, man. You've got the stuff down. I was impressed.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Me and Adam Nygon enjoyed the opportunity, and I think we had a good time together. Kind of funny how the world works. You know, Nygon and I go way back, so it was fun to join him. I think we had some fun guests, so we just appreciate the chance to go on, and most importantly, we're glad that everything still works after we left.
Well, I thought you guys did great, and again, our relationship with you and, you know, working with Adam too, but just appreciative of so much of what you're doing and covering these Rams on a daily basis. Nobody does it better. And what a game for Colorado State the other night, man. We had Mr. Cartier on the program yesterday, and Kevin, maybe I prematurely did this, but I went ahead and made him my player of the week, and it's only Thursday, so a lot can happen. And we had a UNC guy go off for 30, so I could have made a mistake there. So I'm really hoping Cartier can get another 20-plus point performance against Utah State. That would make me look a little smarter.
Yeah, that was a huge performance for him. He is, in a lot of ways, doing what we expected, but I think it still flew a little under the radar what was expected of him. Partially because of others, you know, obviously everyone, you know, was excited about Isaiah Stevens' return, what he'd do, and rightfully so, and, you know, the new pieces with Nick Clifford and Joel Scott. But, you know, I just remember, I think I tweeted, I should go find it, because, you know, it's hard for me to look smart, so I need to find those things when I do. I think it was during the Mountain West tournament last year, I tweeted something like, you know, Cartier could be an all-conference type of player next season, and he's looking like that. He's so efficient. His footwork is incredible inside. It's, you know, everyone loves, you know, high athleticism plays, and understandably so, but there's just a special artwork, if you will, about, you know, clean footwork inside, and Cartier does it. You know, he finishes his left really, really well, which is, you know, that goes to tell you how much he works on his game. It's just fun to watch, and then, you know, he's super efficient at the three-point ball, and it's funny, he makes sure to let defenders know when he hits his first three-pointer of, you know, hey, young fella, you might want to come out here with me.
No, he's fun to watch, man. There's no question about it. He was the star of that show. Isaiah Stevens is always the star of the show, right? I mean, he's just not going to – we're so used to him, like 18 points, 8 assists, 3 steals. He just – perfect from the free throw line. And that is the highest compliment I think you can pay a guy, is basically say – yeah, we just expect that kind of stuff. He's just that guy, steady Eddie, every single night.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that line you just said, you can basically just write it in and say that's sort of your baseline of what you're going to get. I think one of the things that speaks to how consistent he is post-game, Nico Medved was talking about him and basically that if he always makes the right decision. Medved kind of talks, he goes, well, there was that one possession, and that tells you when a guy has one possession wrong in the entire game and you can pick it out. You know, there are a lot of possessions in a basketball game. You know, everyone else has a lot more than one where they do something wrong. Nico's like, well, there was one, so I guess let's clean that up. That tells you the level that he plays at.
Yeah, and just his demeanor. He looks the part, Kevin, of an NBA player. I don't know. Again, you're better at this than I am. I don't know if he has the size or whatever, but he just, to me, he looks the part, and we'll see what happens in the future.
And I think what we're seeing is, you know, we've all been around Isaiah Stevens a lot now. And we know the talent. We've seen it. Everyone has seen it. But if you're around him a lot, you know the mindset, too. And he has, I mean this as a compliment, some of that Jordan streak of,
yeah,
whether it's real or perceived, he's going to take flights and use them as motivation. So he hasn't directly said this, at least to my knowledge, but you know darn well in his head, he's saying, okay, I went through these NBA workouts and, you know, they told me I'm not ready yet. I'm not good enough yet. Well, I'm going to show them. And he's just playing. He's always been great, but it's just another level this year. And you know that he, you know, obviously he's doing it for the team and himself and everything. But some of that growth is like, okay, huh? They said I need to take it to another level. I'm going to show them I have another level.
Yeah, and I love that mindset. And, again, he's like you said, it's not outward. Like you don't, it's not cocky. It's not arrogance. But he does perhaps use some of that and brings it inward. And the output is absolutely wonderful as the Rams get the dub. Now on to Utah State. Tough matchup there, 13-1, Utah State on the road. First off, Kevin, for our listeners' sake here, how can one watch that game this weekend?
Yeah, this is the tweets are going to be flying Saturday night, I feel like, because it's Mountain West Network only, which is, I mean, just flat out, it's a shame. You know, you could even elevate to a travesty in a basketball sense if you want, that these two teams are buried on an internet broadcast. So the MW.com, the good news is, you know, smart TVs and stuff, you can download the app and watch it on your TV or cast it there. So you can watch it like TV, but it certainly isn't going to get the, you know, the eyeballs that the New Mexico game did and probably the eyeballs that it deserves. It's a whole complicated thing on TV contracts. They're set a long time ago. I'm going to assume without being in that room that the TV folk didn't really think Utah State was going to be very good and probably not Colorado State either, so didn't highlight this one. So, variety of circumstances, not an ideal broadcast situation, and it'll be the same Tuesday in Boise as well.
Well, at least we'll get a an opportunity to watch the game via the Mountain West Network, so at least there's that. All right, so let me ask kind of a reverse here. I'm always asking, like, what do the Rams need to do to beat Utah State? Well, at this point, I'm seeing how good this Rams team really is. They can beat you in a lot of different ways. What is their kryptonite? How does a team like Utah State beat them? If you want to, like, what is a weakness that the Rams have at this stage, Kevin?
Well, though CSU has lost one game, so I think, you know, your starting point is to go to that. That was the St. Mary's game, and that was the one game that Isaiah Stevens wasn't phenomenal. He had, I think, a 6 turnover, something like that. You know, he wasn't terrible, but his standard is so high that, you know, for him it was a quote-unquote bad game. And obviously he starts everything for that offense that's so good. So this is me, you know, easy for us to sit here on the radio and say this. Just slow down Isaiah Stevens. That's all you have to do. Now, St. Mary's has a unique size and defensive capability, I guess, that I don't think most teams have. So, again, it's hard to do, but that has to be your number one. But for Utah State, I mean, I'm really intrigued by them. Obviously, the record is great. They haven't played a great schedule, but they beat everyone pretty handily a lot of times. And the spectrum, that place is a nightmare to play. It is loud. I'm sure it will be full Saturday night. So I think a lot of it for them is going to be get their guys going early. You know, great Osabor is kind of their star right now. And get them going, get that crowd flowing, and, you know, kind of overwhelm CSU early.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Coloradoan, and man, it's just get ready, right? Because this Mountain West Conference is so much fun. There's going to be so many great games, and that's also why I think that New Mexico game was so important to get it early, because I think these teams are kind of going to beat each other up. It's just a matter of, you know, how much can you withstand, and when it's all said and done, we've got a lot of March Madness teams in the mix here, but I think it's probably conceivable to think that the Rams could easily lose a handful of Mountain West Conference games because that's how stacked this is.
Yep, I think the Mountain West winner at best will be 14-4. I think it's very possible you could have a 13-5 tie at the top. So, yeah, anyone, I had someone, I think, tweet this to me the other day, basically saying, you know, CSU should win 15 or 16. I said, you know, sure, that's a great plan. I'm sure Nico would like to do that, but... But that's not realistic. You know, that would be incredible. See, you know, if CSU goes 15-3 in conference play, you're looking at, I don't know, 2-3 seed maybe in the NCAA tournament, because this league is so good. I did the math. Of the 18 conference games as of this week, CSU would have 6 quad 1 and 6 quad 2 games. So that tells you every game is super, super tough. And any win is pretty much a big win. So, yeah, I think you need to protect home court, you know, in those 9 home games. You know, probably need to win 8 at least, and then see if you can be around 500 on the road. That's a pretty good formula.
You know, I knew the Rams were good. I think we all kind of think they're, I don't even know if we think anymore, they're going to be dancing. But I got to tell you, I looked at that line, -3.5 against New Mexico, and you know, I've always talked about so highly of New Mexico. I thought, man, this could be tough. This could be a tricky one here because New Mexico is so talented. Those guards are ridiculous. But you had a mixture of things happen in that one, foul trouble obviously being a big one. But CSU showed me that they're even better than I thought. Like, I was worried about this game, and they ended up, at the end of the day, handling it pretty, you know, relatively easy.
Yeah, it's just a really mature team that keeps finding a way to do what they need to. And this offense is so good. You know, the defense, they started slow. They're kind of getting carved up inside. New Mexico, like you say, those guards are really good, and they're making – it was actually more their passing that was creating problems. Donovan Dent is a really good player that I think maybe is being hurt by Mashburn and House a little bit. But that's a whole different conversation. But CSU started defending it a little better, getting in the lanes, and then the offense, you know, it's going to have a surge because they just have so many guys that do things well, and the ball just moves so much. When you move the ball like CSU does, there's just going to be times where it overwhelms the defense when the timing clicks, and that's what they do. So, yeah, I think the maturity of this team just keeps shining, and that's what you hope will carry them on the road. You know, that's what, you know, Utah State's going to be a really hard environment. And CSU, to be frank, hasn't been in one yet. You know, the two road games, no offense to UNC and LMU, not really super hostile environments. You know, the Creighton game was technically neutral. It was Creighton heavy, but it wasn't, like, daunting. This is going to be the first daunting environment. And this doesn't guarantee success, but I don't think this team will be awed by it.
What is it about Colorado State? What is it about this team, Kevin, that, again, you're going into this game against New Mexico and you think, okay, it's probably going to be a neat Clifford night, or Isaiah's going to have 25 or 23. But instead, as we talked about, it was Patrick Cartier with 21 points there. And again, Neek and Stevens were both good, but there's a balance there. And, you know, you also saw New Mexico get in the paint the first few possessions, and I thought it might be a long night in the paint for CSU, but then that changed. What is it about what Nico Medved's doing that is creating so much separation for this team to be kind of choosy with who they want to take over on a nightly basis?
You know, it's so cliche for a deep team, but it's also so accurate for this team of, on a given night, it can be just about anyone. And the depth really showed in this one. You know, Josiah Strong is still out. He'll be back very soon, maybe Saturday. But, you know, he's one of your best perimeter defenders. But they can still go 10 deep. And I would say New Mexico is maybe the second deepest team. And it felt like CSU kind of wore them down because you can keep throwing different things. And when one thing isn't working, you can go to something else. You know, Rashawn Bimba and KV Jackson, if you look at their stat line, you know, you don't really think about it. But those guys changed the game with their defense. They got their hands in passing lanes, created a lot of problems, and that helped lead to the offense. You know, Jalen Lake was great defensively. So it's not just the scoring. It's all these different options that help alter a game that CSU can go to. If one matchup isn't working, or one guy, you know, is getting beat in a, you know, one-on-one or whatever, you can switch it up because you have so many different options. Gosh, I think that depth is going to be huge because you have, you know, Utah State's one. They kind of play 6 guys now that they had an injury. Boise State doesn't play many guys. You know, CSU can kind of wear on opponents because they can do so many different things with so many different players.
Yeah, no question about it, man. It's a deep team. It's a fun team, and I'm excited to watch it, and we'll figure it out. Mountain West Network will have us covered this weekend. Kevin, some news on the football side of things, a new defensive line coach.
Yeah, Chuka Ndulu, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, coming from New Mexico State. Jerry Kill there, the head coach, retired, I think you call it. And they had great success. You know, his resume looks good as far as sort of a young up-and-comer, played at Oklahoma, was phenomenal there, signed with the Broncos out of Oklahoma, played a couple of years in the NFL. Seems like, you know, Buda Williams was sort of a young rising defensive line coach, and it looks like they got another. So it seems like a good hire. Not coincidentally, there's a New Mexico State defensive lineman transfer in town for a recruiting visit. So that might be a thing coming. So, yeah, it seems on paper like a good hire.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with it. Kevin, my man, looking forward to Recharging Rams Weekly, first edition of that show coming up for the new year. And we'll catch up with you later this afternoon.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Plenty to talk about.
Yeah, so much, man. Kevin, appreciate you. We'll look forward to chatting with you. And as always, folks, check out Kevin's stuff at coloradoan.com. Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. 48 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. We'll take a short break, wrap up hour number one here. I don't know if you guys, we talked a bit about this yesterday with Mark Johnson, but Colorado defensive coordinator Charles Kelly heading to Auburn. So he's obviously leaving there, going back to where he was. That was his school, his alma mater there, Auburn. So Charles Kelly, D coordinator for the Buffs, gone as well. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. We'll be right back.
Your home for UNC basketball. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
A little chilly out there today. Some snow, some flurries. Might be kind of like that for the next few days, at least Cody, according to our boy Cody Wilson at Denver Front Range and Weather. And if it's cold in the house, Angel was like, dude, my office is freezing. His nose was red. So maybe we need to call Lemons Heating and Cooling to get our heating situation figured out, because maybe you have those weird rooms where some are heated and some are freezing. That's terrible, because how do you heat your house? Lemons Heating and Cooling will help you get through that. HVAC contractor here in Greeley. Free estimates are available at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. Check them out online at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. Okay, Angel, did the Epstein list come out? I know that's not typically a whole show thing, but it is sometimes, I guess, when sports crosses over. Did the list come out?
Part one did.
Do we know, like, is there any big names? I'm just curious.
Bill Clinton. A couple of board members for high-up companies. A couple of former prime ministers of big countries. Prince Andrew of England royalty.
Wow.
So, and he was on there like 60 plus times.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Stephen Hawking was on there.
Gross.
Yeah. Weird stuff.
Jimmy Kimmel's not on that list, though.
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay, here's my question. I don't know how I feel about the whole thing. You know, Aaron Rodgers, his little quick jab about, you know, Jimmy Kimmel hopes that list doesn't come out. Do you think that ESPN, and maybe they have, if I missed it, do you think ESPN, and I know McAfee did his apology thing yesterday, ESPN, Rodgers, whatever, need to come out more on top of this thing and throw out major apologies, consider suspending Aaron Rodgers from being on the McAfee show? Do you think that anything needs to be done on that side?
Maybe. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is just a weird situation because he's not playing right now, so he has a lot of free time to just talk, and he seems to be an entertaining person, and his relationship with McAfee has been going on for a few years. So if McAfee sees a significant hurt in his numbers, then maybe, but
they are paying Rodgers, as we found out, and a significant amount to be on there every single week. I don't know. Maybe I'm desensitized to this thing, but it just feels like, why do we need to make an apology about this? Rodgers said it. It was a quick, it was like in a quick jabby type way, which if you don't think that's happening all over social media and all over the place, you're out of your mind. Should Jimmy Kimmel have been upset by it? Sure. I wouldn't want people saying, Brady, your name, Angel, your name's on that list. Whatever. I get it. But I just, like, Pro Football Talk, they came out with an article that says, absence of Jimmy Kimmel from Jeffrey Epstein list raises stakes for Aaron Rodgers and ESPN, meaning they need to get out in front of this thing. It is so important. It's now more important than ever for Rodgers to address the situation. It's now more important for ESPN to say something, anything, about what happened. A guy said something quick. Should he have said it? No, I agree. He shouldn't have said it. But I don't know, man. For some reason, in this day and age, and the way it was said, it was kind of just like a quick, in-passing jab at the dude. And Jimmy Kimmel does that on his show on a nightly basis. That's what comedians get paid for. Comedians say this kind of stuff all the time. And it's right there in front of us. Now, is it on a major network in the morning on an ESPN show? No, but they're comedic acts, and your Jimmy Kimmels and Fallons are all over your local nightly shows every single night saying stuff. I mean, they've all said stuff like this, right? What Roger sounded like was a late night show. Hey, you know who hope that list comes out? Jimmy Kimmel, ha ha. And then they boom, 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 right? That's what it sounded like to me. So do I think that we need to go above and beyond and freak out about this? Probably not. All right, in the second hour, we'll get to the top story of the day, as well as my chat with Mike Rice coming up, voice of the UNC Bears. So much more. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.